Welcome to Chronicles of a Medium. I'm your host, Maureen Hashi, psychic medium, intuitive healer. Join me for compelling conversations into true crime, mediumship, and everything in between. My vision started with a rude awakening from a sound sleep. Jarred awake by the cold steel thrashing into my ribs, causing me to jump right out of my bed. Suddenly, I was very much awake, my heart racing as I struggled to get my bearings. The cold steel of the crowbar still lingering. Suddenly, she appears, dressed to impress, with a beautiful dress and a fur coat. Her blonde hair styled with bouncy curls like the 1940s. Still in a fog of the energy, I laid back down to see what she was going to show me. She quickly transported me to her last moments, and I allowed the energy to flow. The sobering reality of her life was danger. Trying desperately to gather her wits and think fast. The driver was paid to drop me off, she states, as a matter of fact. As though it should make sense to me, I had no idea who she was. Her boyfriend was a jealous man and a man of unspoken power. She was a free spirit, which he tried to stifle. She didn't say his name clear, but I can see his face, and he admitted to me in a New York accent like he was a mob boss. Yep, I killed her. He had a very specific way of speaking, so I'm thinking that he must be also dead. She tells me I've been here several times as she's tried to show me some details through other visions. And as she explains other things to me that's gone down here. Here, meaning her house. She didn't need to explain to me that there was other murders at this location because I could feel them. That night, he had her followed. As she left her house, she shows me after the fact. He was so controlling, she confesses. The young starlet explains her choice of men to me and tells me she kind of liked his element of danger and living on the edge, pushing the boundaries with him, but never did she feel she was going to die that night. I guess on some levels, she must have. She was determined, and she was also running her own business, running her own shows, and how she wanted things to go. It was her dream, her legacy, and she wasn't about to hand it over to her then boyfriend, who had other ambitions for this property of hers. Given it's out of the way and on the way type of location, she continues to tell me. She had the most amazingly, determined energy. Some might call her bossy. And that could be off-putting to people, I'm sure. A perfect location for extended criminal activity, given the fact she was a girl who got around, so to speak, and his jealousy, and then the fact that he didn't take kindly to being told he couldn't do something. He was going to make her pay, and He and his friends had a way of taking over your life. Subtle at first, she says in a faraway voice. The man had been waiting in the shadows by the locked door. I watch her stumble up the stairs, making her way to the door. There in the shadows, a large man leans in and punches her in the face. Stricken with fear, she begins to run towards the stairs. The stairs that are outside. He was close on her heels, and she stumbles. Her final location was intentional. She knew she had to get there, thinking she'd be safe, or at least dying there would leave a clue. It was supposed to be a signal who was responsible for her death. After all, he owned the space. Missing buttons, a small tear in her clothing. Her fur coat hung precariously as her heart pounded wildly in her chest. You could hear her heart beating in her ears. Her clouded thoughts clearing as adrenaline pumps. Her heart racing faster. Flight or fight in high gear. Scrapes on her hands as she braces them on the wooden stairs. Check for splinters, she says. On one of her ring fingers is hurt. The man close enough but casual, watching in delight as she scrambles with fear. Two men, she thinks. She hears lots of footsteps. Instant regret filled her mind as she now is trapped in the garage. With a final blow, she passes out. The man places her in the car with little respect and some irritation. He shoves her over. As he slid in beside her to finish the job. Trying to change how she died, he gets out. As she slumps over, his footsteps echoing on the gravel. He walks away, letting nature take its course. She did not die right away. Police were paid off as they were in those days. Injury on her foot, she says, something about her toes. She's talking about constricting around her airways, something in her throat, a man's hand as redness on the front of her throat, pain above her eye where he punched her. He pours booze on her, making her smell intoxicated, which she was. She never went to her mother's house. She wanted to keep her safe, knowing how dangerous her boyfriend was, and dying in the garage, in his garage, should have been a clue for them. Stupid people, she says. Fair weather friends never had my back. No one fought for me. After all I've done for everyone, they just pushed me aside and let me die, and took what wasn't theirs to take. Bastards, she said. She went on to talk about two policies and a very specific injury where her spinal cord starts at the base of her skull. Then gave me a tour of better days. Mosaic brown tiles with blue in the center, like Italian old world feel. She talks about a white picket fence with an opening at the top of the stairs that used to have a tree. I'm guessing it's an orange blossom tree from what she's showing me. Satisfied that she was able to show me her murder and who was responsible, she just has to bring me her living. So her family knows who they are, if they're still living. I don't think they are. Now, because this may be an active case, I'm not able to reveal her name and other various details, just in case I get to work on her actual case. You've been listening to Chronicles of a Medium. I'm your host, Maureen Hashi, psychic medium, intuitive healer. Thanks for tuning in. Please like, share, and follow.